glorious nation under God. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never, ever back down. And we will never, ever, ever, ever surrender.
Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get Dimitri 5 days a week, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Here with Butch Maxwell. He was kind enough to come in and talk about his dear friend Ken Neal. Passed away suddenly, unexpectedly. By the way, Butch, he was a young guy.
Yeah, he was 57 years old, which is way too young to die.
Do we know what happened?
Yeah, it was heart problems, and he needed a new heart valve. And in fact, I went to see him in the hospital when this was first diagnosed. It was not diagnosed for many years. I don't know what the problem was with, because you could hear this. But my wife is a cardiac nurse. That was her specialty, was cardiac nurse. Yeah, she's a PhD in this. And
your wife's a PhD?
She's a PhD, right. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and she said you could hear this by just using a stethoscope on his chest. You could hear this problem. Right. It's a murmur. It comes out as a murmur, but he needed a new valve. He had like a pinhole. Just the blood was only going through just a tiny pinhole, so it really needed to be replaced. And this is something that can be done very, very easily. I'm sure your last case, Dr. Georges told you, Wheeling Hospital does this stuff all the time.
Right.
And we were joking about it. He was going to get a pig valve, you know.
Yeah.
So he was going to be, you know, and we were joking, you know, oh, well, it's a good thing I'm not Jewish, and you know, or you're a Muslim or something, you know. And it was kind of just, you know, it was very lighthearted. He and Susan and I were just joking about it in the hospital when he was going to have this done. He was awaiting a second opinion on it. I don't know whether I want to get into too much about why he was making this decision, but he made the decision himself that he wanted to wait and get a second opinion, and he just didn't make it to that second opinion.
Yeah. That is amazing. Was his health bad over the years?
No, it was. I mean, you know, he carried a little extra weight, and so that was not good. But you know, he moved around. I mean, on stage and stuff. You know, you just see him work, and he worked. You could not keep him from working at home. He was the kind of the guy that just always had a project. We rehearsed in his garage, and he was making his garage look really nice, and just turning it into basically a studio.
Wow.
And so he was constantly working. In fact, when he left the hospital, my wife even told him, he said, you know, if you go home, don't do anything. This is not something that you can work and get, you know, and, you know, like exercise. That was unfortunate. So I don't know if there's a cautionary tale. I would just tell people that if you got a serious situation, don't wait for a second opinion, you know.
Or get it quickly.
And that's hard to do, to get a second opinion on something like that. So, that was a very unfortunate part of the story. But there really wasn't a lot of a sign that he was not feeling well, at least as far as I know. And you know, I was in touch with him, you know, even though the band hadn't played in several months, we were still in touch all the time. So
what is the most interesting memory you have of Ken? Was there one moment, doesn't necessarily the band,
yeah,
but just one moment, one little snapshot that it was like, oh yeah,
this really represents Ken? We went to a lot of concerts together. We both enjoyed music a lot, and we went to a number of concerts together. I think the last one we went to see was the Postmodern Jukebox, which is, you know, not exactly a rock and roll thing. But
is that a punk thing?
No, that's Postmodern Jukebox takes contemporary music and makes it sound like it was recorded in the 1920s or 30s.
I see those on TV.
Yes.
The production quality is amazing. Great.
And you know,
and some of the women singing are
God. Oh yeah. And they have
great.
At this particular show, we saw it at Carnegie in Pittsburgh, and
in Oakland, or in
It was one of the Carnegie. They have so many Carnegies. Yeah. I can't remember which one it was.
Homestead or something.
Yeah, but they actually had a tap dancer too, which was very unique too. So yeah. Several different singers, and you know they're up there and they're doing this sort of a swinging jazz thing, and then yes. suddenly you realize, wait a minute, this is Lady Gaga they're doing or whatever, you know. So Ken and I just went to a lot of shows like that with our wives, generally speaking, because you know we both are. We shared this unique thing, and we both really love spending time with our wives too. And so, you know, we did a lot. I went to see Rusted Root in Pittsburgh, and you know, a lot of things like that. So, I don't know. Those are you know, most of my most pleasant memories with Ken were those things, or when we were just working together on a project and stuff. I'm a process person. I enjoy much more than performing. I enjoy the process of putting together a show. And so I
love.
Was
Ken helpful?
Oh yeah, yeah, he's very helpful.
What did he do?
You know, he added insight, and you know,
like
mostly mostly musical things. He had a great ear. He could tell if somebody was even just slightly out of tune. He didn't have perfect pitch, but he had a really good ear, and so that was good. And most of what I brought was, I think, staging elements and things like that. Where you know,
you're the theater guy.
Yeah,
you're absolutely the stage theater. Yeah, guy. No question about that.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a bone to pick with somebody at Totterdale. Mm-hmm. And I did put the tot in Totterdale.
Yes,
actually.
Yes, we know that.
Why isn't Kirk here?
Kirk, I invited him, but he didn't.
And he knew that he'd be here with me,
yeah,
right?
Yes, yes.
And he turned you down?
That's why. He doesn't like you. No. No, actually, he just
send him a message on Messenger right now. What do you mean?
No, Kirk's actually very busy because, as you can imagine, Ken's not being at Totterdale now has put them into a kind of a bind where they're really, you know, they've just got a lot of work. So Kirk just said, I wish you well. You go ahead and speak on our behalf.
Oh,
so.
Man.
So he delivered a beautiful eulogy, though.
Yeah.
So much so that I really couldn't think of much to add, because everybody covered everything from, you know, just how friendly he was, how he helped other people. So many testimonials.
What was the best story that you heard?
I don't know. Let me tell you what I ended up saying, because I didn't come prepared to say anything, but a lot of people were saying, well, you know, you were one of his best friends, you should get up. And so I finally did. And I said, you know what? One thing that no one has mentioned is his sense of humor. Ken had a wicked sense of humor, and he loved South Park, the TV show South Park.
Yes.
So I said, I know this might seem a little sacrilegious to you, and if so, I apologize in advance, but I know that Ken would approve when I invoke this. Oh my God, they killed Kenny! that was part of my eulogy, and it did get a laugh.
Oh.
I think and
the people who know South Park laughed.
They knew
the others must have been appalled.
They might have been, but I did apologize kind of preemptively, and I said, this is just a joke. He would like it. He would have liked it.
Oh,
and most of his friends afterwards said, yeah, he would have liked
you
that.
Bastards.
You bastards. Yeah, I didn't say that part. But
oh, that's the best part.
I know. But you know, I mean, there was we had Dan Cook giving a very properly religious eulogy, and I thought, I'm not going to say you bastards.
What happened to the Butch Maxwell that I've known for over the years? What the heck, jeez, Louise. So. What else did you learn at the funeral?
Just how much you know he was loved and admired by such a wide range of people too. I don't think Ken was especially religious. I mean, at least I never got that impression. I don't think he was a church going guy, but he did. He was very good friends with Dan Cook, who's very religious, and he gave us a great eulogy and. Overwhelmingly, just the kindness that he gave up himself. You could call him in the middle of the night, you know, my furnace went out. What do I do? What do I do? And he would he'd get up and talk you through it. And if it couldn't be fixed, if he couldn't guide you through it, he would get out and go in, go over to his friend's house and try to help them fix
really?
the furnace in the middle of the night. There were two people that mentioned incidents like that. So that was incredible. I mean, you know, when I needed to get my deck replaced and stuff, so I called Ken. Ken, who do I call? He said, well, you know, you call this guy. He was just a good resource from that. Yeah. But I live in an area where our power goes out all the time.
Oh, so Herb Electric.
I've got.
You call Rich. Mm-hmm. He'll take good care of you.
I was just leading you. See how I set it up for you? I do have a power generator, and it saved me forever. And Ken actually gave me advice on that too. So that's, you know, great. Ken, just a wonderful guy, a talented musician, just a great person to have on your side. And Dimitri, I am so thankful that you were the connection that brought me to Ken. You know, because he was receptive to my offering him some sales on that particular radio station where you used to work, and you had put the Taut and Totterdales. We got to be good friends.
That's
because
great.
Of you.
That's
so
great.
And out because of you, then Dimitri, I guess we can say, you know, the M80s were created.
There
so,
you go.
So
that's a bit of a reach, but I'll take it.
Well, you know, what do I care?
What the hell do I care?
Give you a little credit for
all
it.
All right. Well, Butch, I always give my guests the last word to speak directly to mm-hmm. the people here in the valley to say whatever, you know, whatever the guest wants to say, but you get the last word. So we've got about a minute or so left. I'm going to hand you my microphone effectively and tell us anything that you want regarding Ken Neal.
Yeah. Okay. So the one thing that I would take away from this is it's not all that profound, but treasure your friends. Tell them that you care about them. Tell them you love them, and show them that you love them. Our time here on the planet together is brief, and we don't know when someone is going to disappear just suddenly and be left only with those memories. So keep that in mind. This is not a morbid thing. This is just a matter of showing love and caring and appreciation. And I am so grateful that I had Ken Neal in my life. That's really what I can take away from this. And show gratitude and appreciation to those people that you really care about. And you know, and that's all I can do is wish Ken and Susan and his daughter Megan and dog Bernie all the best. And I'll keep you in my heart forever.
Butch Maxwell, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate
it. Thank you,
Dimitri. Thank you so much for talking about Ken. And goes by way too fast.
It does.
It's amazing.
It does. It does. I mean, it just seems like I just met you 10 minutes ago, and, you know, it's been 30 years.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. In any event, we are here. Let's seize the day.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we'll get you back on again soon. Give me some other excuse, but you got to bring Vera.
Okay. Bring Vera. And you got to come see Mystery Theater Unlimited sometime next Wednesday night, 233-4555 to make your reservations. Only $24.95 for dinner and a show. You'll laugh. You'll have fun.
What was that phone number again?
304-233-4555, River City.
Butch Maxwell, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.